Venerable Bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, the subject of the discourse today is formations, volitional activity you call it, in other respect. In the dependent origination, Buddha clearly analyzes the worldly. In that analysis, he has clearly indicated that this worldling has been misled completely as a result of his ignorance of formations or volitional activity which he commits. That is the starting point of his cause for delusion. The dependent origination is avidya pachya sankara, sankara pachya vijnanam, vijnana pachya namarupam, namarupa pachya salayatanam, salayatana pachya passo, passa pachya vedana, vedana pachya tanha, tanha pachya upadanam, upadana pachya bhavo, bhava pachya jati, jati pachya jara maranam, soka parideva dukkha dobana supayasa. That is the Pali rendering of the dependent origination. This chain of events commences with ignorance. Because of ignorance you commit sankhara. The normal explanation given in the scriptures is that ignorance refers to non-attainment of the Four Noble Truths, non-realization of the Four Noble Truths. Till one realizes the Four Noble Truths, one is supposed to be in ignorance. But this ignorance refers to a clear act committed by you. In ignorance you commit the formations of volitional activity. Ignorance of what? It's a question. And before we explain that, let me explain to you that the formations of volitional activity we refer to with the worldling commits are the activities of six sense bases. They are seeing with the eye, hearing with the ears, smelling with the nose, experiencing taste through the tongue, contact through the body, and the creation of thoughts. These are all the activities a worldling can commit. When you analyze these sankharas or formations or volitional activity, we will find in this six which he refers to as sankhara, everything is there. When I say everything is there, it is this six sense basis that creates the world around you. In that world of yours, which you have created, there is everything found. And you do not know anything beyond the world you have created. Therefore, there cannot be more sanskaras that or formations a worldling can commit. This is all that you can do. And with these six experiences you gain through the six sense basis, you create the world. Buddha refers to this world as yourself. You are the world. You create this world. The world I create is quite different from the world you create. In other words, each one of us creates a different world according to the ability each one of us possess to see, to smell, to hear, to experience taste, to contact and to take. Maybe if you are a person who had experience in traveling all over the world, the creation of the world around him is wider than the creation you have committed in your experiences. But wherever you may be and wherever you may go, you only can do six things. You can see with your eyes, you can hear with your ears, you can smell with your nose and experience taste with the tongue, contact with the body and thinking. That's all you can do. When we think of the worldling, we always refer to or imagine that there is a being within us. But Buddha has categorically said that there is no such being in any person as such. For all our activities are the activities of the mind and the body. If we have created the world with the activities of the mind and the body, in that world there is everything. And that is all where you are concerned. Where another individual is concerned, that is all he is concerned. Independently, each one of us have created a world of our own. And according to the dependent origination, in the creation of these sankharas or formations, we produce the consciousness which give rise to the name and form. These are the three things that created these formations. And if these formations are not the work of an individual, are not the products of an individual, but the natural outcome of the consciousness giving rise to name and form, who is the creator of these things? There's no creator. Circumstances have produced these things as a result of cause and effect and nothing else. The being is subject to suffering as a result of the formations he creates. And these formations are the outcome of causally created activity by the body and the mind. That is why Buddha clearly indicated that there is suffering in the world, but there is no sufferer. Then one would understand who created this so-called sufferer in us. It is the creation by the consciousness. In every activity of producing formations or volitional activity in respect of every sense base, there is always the sense base in contact with the sense object in the first instance, and then that leads to the attraction of the consciousness to that incident. And this consciousness then takes over the entire operation by the creation of a thought with the five mental factors participating. This is a huge natural process. There is no person as such who is performing this activity. But the worldling foolishly believes that there is a being in us, and he is the creator of all this. I have been emphasizing that in the formations or volitional activity of the six sense bases, there is no desire, though such activity is the spontaneous activity of the mind. Then who pursued this activity further? When I see something, I see. But who is the person who pursued what I saw further to create an attachment or aversion to that object? It is the creation of this imaginary person within you by the consciousness. When the consciousness participates in creating a thought for you to produce a formation, he not only creates a thought with the five mental factors, but he also produces a delusion in you, the delusion of the creation of a person in you as the author of such activity. So in every formation you create, there is the author of that activity created by the consciousness as a delusion. If we ask the question, how is this delusion created in the consciousness? The very mental factors which you produced to create the thought, while creating the thought to enable you to commit the formation or create a formation, there is also the delusion, the delusory aspect of that commitment in the way of a creation of a being. And it is this being that pursues the activity of the formation or the creation of the formation further than that creation. To explain it clearly, after you have seen something, the activity of the consciousness is over because it has created a thought in you to enable you to see. But what persuades you to go beyond that stage to create either an aversion or attachment about the object that has attracted the sense base? It is the delusion created by the consciousness in the way of a being within you that may enable the activity to go further, or in other words, to enable this so-called individual to go further and then pursue what is present or create an aversion to what is unpleasant. But for the formation of this individual, which is a delusion by the consciousness, the activity in the formations would have ceased at merely enabling you to see or hear or smell or taste or contact or think. In every sense base, this occurrence of the creation of a delusion in the way of the author of that act, or the person responsible for that act as you, is created in the thought. Of the formation of the mental factors that directly helps this creation are contact, which puts forth your physical form as the person responsible for this act. Then the possessor of that form undergoes the feelings with the mental factor feeling. He identifies the objects with the mental factor perception. He creates the activity of seeing as an act, as if that person has committed that act. And it is the consciousness that gave the energy, provided the energy, and also produced the mental factors that help to create this so-called being in you. When you summarize all this activity carefully, you will see in making use of the six sense bases, we are not only experiencing an object that has attracted the sense base by the creation of a thought, we have also created an imaginary being who is the author of the activity of seeing, author of the activity of hearing, author of the activity of smelling, author of the activity of tasting, author of the activity of contacting, and author of the activity of thinking. And it is this imaginary person, brothers and sisters, that pursue this activity further in the way of creating an attachment to the object that has attracted to the sense base, or if that object is not your like, to create a dislike to that object and create an aversion. Buddha clearly indicates that attachment and aversion are the two things that has created the desire. Therefore, brothers and sisters, desire is not the outcome, direct outcome of the creation of formations. Desire is what you have yourself created. That is the important aspect of this question. You are responsible for that creation. We always think that once we have experienced something to a sense base, then we follow that experience, if it is something to our appreciation to create an attachment to it, or if it is not to our appreciation to create an aversion to it. We always thought that these two activities are due to desire. But if desire is the outcome of the creation of these two extremes of attachment to aversion, then desire is the result of these two activities. It's not the desire that has produced these two activities. But when you probe into the aspect of the formations of the volitional activity, we find that it is the creation of the being in us that has led to the creation of the desire. If there is no person to enjoy what is pleasant, if there is no person to create an aversion to what is unpleasant, no person actually going through these two experiences, even in your imagination, could there be something pleasant and could there be something unpleasant? It's unpleasant to the being. It's unpleasant to the individual. It's pleasant to the individual and to the being. And this being is purely a creation of the mind. At what stage does this consciousness create this being? Consciousness creates the being in creating the thought which pursues that activity of the formations. The thought that helped one to see, the thought that was created helped one to hear. In other words, all the formations are the result of a thought that is created in you. And in that very thought, the very mental factors that created the thought, while creating the thought, also has created the delusion in you in the way of a being being present in you when it is not so. And it is this being, brothers and sisters, who pursued this what is pleasant and also created that aversion to what is unpleasant. And the outcome of this pattern of behavior created the desire. That is something which you must bear in mind. We normally say that desire is the cause of suffering. But ask the question, could there be a suffering if there is no person to suffer? Who created this person when there is no person as such in this mental activity? The imagination has created the person. And the consciousness has done that job, task well. So when you think of ignorance as the first cause for the dependent origination, brothers and sisters, rationally we can say ignorance not of the final outcome of our development of realizing the Four Noble Truths, ignorance of the fact that there is no being as such is the cause of all your misery. If we are aware that there is no being in us, then one would not pursue what one sees in the way of creating an attachment to what he liked very much or creating an aversion to what he did not like. Because liking and disliking are not mere words. There is in those words the act of disliking and act of liking. And to commit those two acts, there should be at least somebody in the nature of an imaginary person even. So the consciousness has created that imaginary person in you. At the very time you committed the act of seeing, act of hearing, act of smelling, act of tasting, act of contacting and thinking. In the very thought you created to experience the sense-based activity, this delusion is created in your mind. And in fact, one could say that you commit the act of seeing as if somebody within you is committing that act. It's just not merely an act, but somebody within you is committing that act. Somebody within you is committing the act of hearing. Somebody within you is committing the act of tasting. Somebody within you is committing the act of smelling. Likewise, the other sense-based activities, you commit those activities, or in other words, those create those formations as if somebody is doing those things. It is that, brothers and sisters, that has completely misled you. It is that person whom we have created, who has pursued this experience he has gained through his eye in the way of seeing something. Having seen something, having appreciated what he saw, he did not keep quiet, he went further in order to enjoy that. And the result was that he created the desires. It was not to his liking, he created the distaste for it and created again desire. Both these things, both these two extremes create the desired one. So in the dependent origination, bear in mind, the commission of formation, there lies the secret to our continuity in sansara, or cycle of births. And what is that secret? The secret is that you have committed, that you have created an imaginary being in your formations, as the author of such formations. We proceed further. In the dependent origination, Buddha refers to that you commit the formations with the six sense bases, and pursue that further, saying there is contact, and the contact results in feeling. And the feeling gives way to desire. Activities, the six sense bases, are the result of contact. Without contact, you can't see. Without contact, you can't hear. Without contact, you can't perform any of the six sense based activities. Contact is the cause of the creation of thoughts. It is after contact that we create the thought. Therefore, that's a very important link in the dependent origination. Contact. Contact gives way to feelings. Feeling is a mental factor. One would ask the question, who is feeling? Who is pursuing the feeling? Contact, we can say, well, you opened your eyes and then there was an object before you and the contact takes place. But who felt about this? It's just not a feeling. Just not an incident of feeling, is somebody that felt about this. He had felt and he had pursued the feeling further, creating an attachment to the object. And if it was not to his liking, he has created a dislike to that object. These two extremes he has committed. Who has committed? This imaginary person, which you created in the formations. He is the person, the author of all this. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, you would have stopped your activity in creating formations at the conclusion of the creation of the thought to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, to contact and think. You have committed that act. You saw, you heard, you smelt, you tasted, you contacted and you thought. What is there further to be done? the creation of this so-called being in the formation did not leave your activity at that. He pursued the feeling because he is feeling it. And if it was something present, he pursued that further to enjoy it. And if it was something unpleasant, he pursued that to create a distaste for that. This imaginary person, this delusion that was created by the consciousness in the very thought that enabled you to experience the sense-based activity, and that created the desire. That created the desire. Now let us go back again to the formations. Buddha clearly indicates that the so-called individual that one has in his imagination created is nothing but the five grasping groups. The grasping group of form, grasping group of feeling, grasping group of perception, grasping group of volitional activity, and the consciousness. What are these? They are all what the consciousness has created. No? Grasping group of form, naturally the author's form is there, his picture. He is the person. If I saw something, it is I who saw. And my form is the form of the person who saw. And contact creates that. After that, this so-called person who owns the form, he has felt, he has perceived and identified it, and he has committed the act of seeing. All those are the components of the very thought this consciousness has created. There is no outside creation there. It's the consciousness that created these. That is why Buddha explained to us clearly that the consciousness is a conjurer, is a deceiver. He can create a lot of deceptions and mislead you. These five grasping groups created by the consciousness is actually the composition of this being within you. Where did it arise? In the very thought that you created to experience the object that has attracted your sense space. So the creation of this being has not commenced at the latter part of the dependent origination. It has been created at the very inception, in the formation itself. And brothers and sisters, after this imaginary person has pursued the activity of the sense base to create an attachment to aversion which has contributed to the creation of desire, what is the outcome of desire? The outcome of desire is grasping, putting together firmly, clinging together very firmly of what? Of five things. What are the five things? The form, the feeling, the perception, the volitional activity of the commitment to the act of either seeing, hearing or smelling, and the consciousness. You can well imagine what the desire has done to us. Grasping is the outcome of desire. Grasping of what? These five groups created by the consciousness while creating the thought to enable us to experience an object through the sense base also has created these five delusions in us. May I say, a delusion created by the five things. And that delusion has been grasped so well as a result of desire that is very well embedded in our mind as a person. Very well embedded in our mind. We have no doubt that there is this being in us because this desire has created that. Buddha says clearly, when the person is about to die, he experiences a karmic act which he has committed. Either this person will see the very act he committed, or he will see the outcome of that act as a nimitta. That is the last thing he sees in his mental vision. And it is so clear, and that be the last thing he has experienced. By that time, all his sense bases have become inactive. They are not producing anything. There is no life in his legs or in the body. It is only the mind performing his last task of creation of a thought. And what is that thought? Thought about the vision he sees. Thought about what he has. What the outcome of his activity in the past. In the nature of a nimitta. either the karma or the karma nimitta. Karma is the very act you have committed, and karma nimitta is the outcome of the act you have committed, which is the place of your next birth. He has no alternative. His existence is production of thoughts. So when his vision appears before him, he hangs on that. When he sees the act he has committed is something meritorious, something good, he will be happy about it and hangs on that act. That thought is called the vijnana, karma vijnana. And if I translate, I would say consciousness created by the karma you committed. And he, the outcome of that grasping of the good act which he has committed in the past, he gets a good birth. In keeping with that good consciousness, good. But on the other hand, if he has committed something bad, and if he sees that, the natural outcome is that his consciousness also reduces itself in his, in that commitment to that, in agreement with that act which he has committed. For instance, if he has killed an animal, he would have been very angry, or he would have had a desire to make use of that, the body of that carcass of that animal for his food, something like that. Desire or animosity. One of these two things will be uppermost in his mind. And his mental condition reduces to such a low degree that in conformity with that state of the mental condition, he gets the birth on the other side. Buddha says, it is your consciousness that will be pushed by desire to get the next birth. And in that consciousness you have grasped an object and created a thought. In that creation of that thought, you have also created the five grasping groups. This five grasping is so well embedded in our mind, brothers and sisters, this activity does not stop merely because your body is dead. This activity pursues the thought you create at the last moment, prior to your dying, and it accompanies that thought. So to say, the five grasping groups that settles down in the next birth, and that five grasping groups has created this being. Therefore, there is always the feeling you get that there is a being now, being born again in the next birth. Who creates that in you? The five grasping groups. That is the nature of the formation. When Buddha says that the formations you have created is a composition of the world you live in, and there are no other formations that we can create except with the six sense basis, therefore all the formations that you are aware of are these six formations and nothing else. These are the formations you are aware of. Ask the question, is there anything beyond the world you have created? There's nothing beyond the world you have created. Because formation is what you have produced as the being. Mm-hmm. And you are merely a composition of formations and nothing else. Therefore, brothers and sisters, when you analyze the formations carefully, how they are created, how they create also at the imaginary person within you through the five grasping group produced by the consciousness, you will admit the fact that we have started our activity in ignorance of what we are. And that ignorance differs to in the dependent originations is nothing but the ignorance of the fact that there is no being within you. You have accepted the position that there is a being within you and committed that act, the formation. Either in the way of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking. And till you die, from the time you are born, up to the time you died, up to the time you breathe your last, there is complete activity by the consciousness in creating this delusion in you of a being present in you. And all your commitments during your span of life, you have committed as a being who is living in you has committed these acts. When in fact, and in truth, they are all causally created. There is nothing in you to indicate that there is a being in you, but there is everything to indicate that there is the mind and the body. The body reacts to what the mind directs. This basic sense bases are a composition of elements. The objects that attract the bases are also a composition of elements. The mind participating in creating formations through these is responsible, or the consciousness is responsible for this delusion to be created in mind. And it is this delusion, brothers and sisters, that has completely misled us. To feel always there is this I in me, to create this ego in you, to create this personality, so-called personality in you, as the person's personality who is living in you. And this false view has led to the creation of the desire, which is the cause of your continuity in the cycle of birth. Therefore, in the analysis of the dependent origination, the most essential thing that you have to bear in mind is the formations which you commit through the six sense bases, with the false view that there is somebody committing these formations. The author has been created in the commitment of the formations. This is the cause of all your misery. Buddha said, attainment of Nibbana is stopping further births to occur. Now how could this be done? You find that from the very start of the creation of formations, you have been misled by this false belief. And in the continuity of this chain of activity in the dependent originations, the births occur also because there is the five grasping groups in the last thought that you create, which becomes the first thought to occur in the mind of the new being. Or in other words, the five grasping groups is the creation of the consciousness that settles in the new being. How could one stop this birth then? It is very clear now, brothers and sisters, that you could stop these births occurring further when you truly understand how these formations are created, and also you could realize that the delusion created by the consciousness has led all of us to this misery. Realistically, when there is no person as in us, he has created the false impression in us that there is a being in us, and you are well and truly caught in that false belief, and we have continued to act, commit or produce formations with that as the nucleus. Who commits the formations? This person. Who is responsible for the formations? This person. Who is responsible for the activities of six sense bases? This person. Who is this person? The delusion created by the consciousness. And the five grasping groups, which are actually the components of the consciousness and its five mental factors, that has produced this delusion. If you really understand that there is no such being in us, that all our activities are causally created by the mind directing the body to perform acts, then what is there to continue? You see and see only, that's all. For you to see, the thought has been created, and the five mental factors have contributed to the creation of the thought. The delusory aspect of the creation of that thought in the nature of the five grasping groups creating a person within you is something in addition to the creation of the thought. You just see, that's all. You hear, that's all. How are these committed? The mind directing the body. They are causally created activity. Activity of seeing is causally created. Activity of hearing is causally created. Activity of smelling is causally created. Activity of tasting is causally created. Activity of contacting is causally created. Activity of thinking is causally created. Cause and effect, nothing else. Now you begin to see clearly that in the formations, the creation of this delusion as the author of these formations, that has led us to this misery. And if we realize that aspect clearly, then you will not look forward to another birth, brothers and sisters, because the other birth still has been created by this so-called being that has been created in you by the consciousness. And he proceeds from one birth to the other as the five grasping groups. There can't be a five grasping groups existing in you if you truly know how the consciousness by the five mental factors create a thought only and nothing more. This imaginary aspect of a creation of a person is something which you have foolishly created, and that is the contribution by the consciousness. That is why Buddha clearly stated that consciousness is a conjurer, don't depend on him. Now you clearly understand the dependent origination. This false view created in our mind in the commission of or creation of formations ultimately led us to another birth. And the birth has created all the misery for us. Therefore, our aim is to stop further births. If you stop further births, then naturally that is the outcome of your gaining Nibbana. You see, I won't keep you longer than this. I have shown you a very intricate aspect of the formations, and also clearly made you understand this ignorance is nothing but the ignorance of not having a being in yourself. There is no such being as such, and you are ignorant of it. It is that ignorance that has led to the continuity of births in this world. Therefore, brothers and sisters, there is food for thought. I would very much like to discuss this subject further with you all if there be any difficulty in understanding what I put across. But it is something which you can grasp clearly, because we have dealt with these subjects on many occasions in various discourses. Therefore, you thought to this, think about it, and you will then solve the riddle of this existence of a human being in this world. And Buddha rightly said after his attainment to Nibbana that there is suffering, but there is no sufferer. The cause of all this suffering is the so-called being created in us in an imaginary sense, pursuing pleasures as a person who is experiencing the sensations, and also pursuing unpleasant states to create an aversion. This so-called person, if there is no such person to realistically feel, even in your imagination, the creation of this being is the person who is responsible for really the experiencing the conditions in the way of like and dislike. If there is no such person, there would have been no dislike or liking. That would have ended our misery. Anyway, I am not proceeding further, because I have sufficiently explained to you these things logically, and it is left to you to hear this over and over again and understand the true implication of dependent origination. This aspect is not generally shown in the explanations given about the dependent origination. They just go on repeating the links and say ignorance is the cause of all this. One would ask the question, what is this ignorance they refer to? Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the final outcome, they say. But the ignorance has been created at the very, very root of the dependent origination, very beginning of the dependent origination. And that ignorance is the ignorance that there is no being within you. You lived in the full acceptance of the word that there is a being within you, and you still live in that frame of mind. So it is something where an effort has to be made with a developed mind to realize the true nature of things. The ordinary mind who has accepted this false view right throughout for many, 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 many births, for him to think that there is no being in us is something which he cannot imagine. Only a mind that has been developed in concentration, which has that amount of depth, can truly realize the true nature of the earth. That is why Buddha has emphasized, brothers and sisters, that you must develop your mind in concentration. What is the purpose in having a knife which is blunt, with a blunt blade? If you have a knife with a blunt blade, you can't cut anything out of that. The knife will produce its value when the blade is sharp. Similarly, the consciousness will produce its best when it is sharp, when it is deep, when it can go probe into a thing. And that quality of the consciousness is the concentration. Therefore, you can't just neglect that. We can think many things, What you think is on the surface, not in depth. To think in depth, you must have that concentration. Then you begin to see many things much more than what you can ever imagine you could have seen if you had that developed mind. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us go through these processes carefully. We can't just say with a placard across our chest, I have attained Nibbana. That will not take you to Nibbana. I can say all of you have attained Nibbana, but what is the purpose of my statement? Either when you have not done so. Attainment of Nibbana is something which you personally realize. It has nothing to do with what I say. I may say anything. But the personal realization by you is the essential thing. I have attained Nibbana. And that realization will come to you as a picture, clear picture before you when that state of mind is reached, brothers and sisters. No one can deceive you. No one on this earth can deceive you when you have attained that height that you have attained Nibbana. Because it is something very, very clear before you. So convincing. There's nothing to doubt in that. Because you then feel, I have nothing further to do, I have finished what I have to do. That's the last thing that you will have to say once you have attained that height. I have nothing further to do, I have done what I am expected to do. I have performed my task. That task is the attainment of Nibbana. May you all attain Nibbana. Thank you.